Paul Schauberg marshals a small team of scientists surveying a stand of red spruce in Colebrook for frost damage from last winter.
What are you guys seeing? Have you seen any injury yet?
We're just seeing green needles.
Yeah. Happy trees.
Red spruce used to be a very high-value timber crop in the U.S. and still is in Canada. But from 1965 to 1986, it declined by around 65%. And the biggest reason? Acid rain. The acidity was basically weakening the tree's needles, so they would freeze off during the winter. With no new needles, the tree would get weaker and eventually die.
Oh, see, you can see there's a little bud in there. See that? Right there. Those.
Yeah.
So those buds will die also, which means not only do you lose that foliage, but you lose the new shoots that are coming from those buds.
Researchers first stumbled onto acid rain in 1963, a little farther south at a place called the Hubbard Brook Experimental Forest, between Thornton and Woodstock. Paul Schauberg, who's with the U.S. Forest Service, was not one of those scientists, but the discovery shaped his career.
Researchers at Hubbard Brook started to measure the pH of the rain and their samples and realized these are really acidic. This is like lime juice and things like that. The water should not be like this.
Acid rain became a big headline. But then Schauberg says for 10 or 20 years, people sort of forgot about it.
Until then, things started happening. Things like marble monuments in cemeteries melting away. Things like, you know, literally infrastructure degrading. And then things like trees starting to die mysteriously.
But the story doesn't end the way many feared it would.
There has been a very major decline in the precipitation pH.
This is Gene Likens. He knows acid rain better than anyone. He led the team that found acid rain at Hubbard Brook here in New Hampshire. He also helped establish the baseline for what rain pH should be by measuring acidity for 10 years in remote places all over the globe and helped link acid rain in the Northeast to power plants upwind.
We actually tried to follow in small airplanes and vehicles on the ground plumes from the Midwest.
Likens and other scientists briefed President Reagan on the issue, kicking off the political process that led to the amendments of the Clean Air Act in 1990.
So it took a long time, from 1963 to 1990.
Likens is still following pH levels, and he says we've come a long way. The rain is about 3 or 4 times less acidic than it was.
But we're still 2 or 3 or 4 times more acid than we should be if the atmosphere were not polluted.
And there seems to be a payoff here in the Northeast for species like red spruce. Although, another acid rain poster child, the sugar maple, isn't out of the woods yet. Acid rain hurts the sugar maple by dissolving minerals in the soil that it needs. It's estimated that over the decades, around 50% of these minerals washed away. So in the late 90s at Hubbard Brook, they used helicopters to seed a whole swath of forest with calcium.
We actually added back a little more than had been depleted.
And 15 years later, sugar maple was the tree that saw the strongest rebound in the treated area. In the untreated forest, it continued to struggle. In other words, some trees need more than just less acidity to bounce back. But for red spruce, which is primarily damaged by acid droplets hitting the needles, as acid rain has declined, it has done more than just recover.
It's also a zero.
Thanks to tree rings, there's a 200-year record of how fast red spruce grows.
Red spruce now are growing better than they ever have in the recorded history. And trees now are growing, you know, twice as well as their maximum ever.
Schauberg is working on studies to try to determine where that growth is coming from. How much is due to less acid, and how much is due to shorter winters, less frost, and warmer temperatures. So yes, we're talking about climate change, and yes, it could be having a positive impact, according to Jeff Parker with the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center.
Now, each of these factors, extra CO2, warmer temperatures, and longer time to grow, are all known to enhance the growth of trees.
Parker did a study that found the growth rates for forests all up and down the eastern seaboard are picking up. But even within forests that are growing faster, some species are winners and others are losers.
I mean, it's pretty clear that, you know, forests are growing faster, but I don't know if anyone's done a good job of looking at the species effect.
Scientists do think that in some areas, climate change will mean more droughts, which would be tough on some trees, and others just don't tolerate heat well. But red spruce, which many researchers thought was doomed, seems to be one of the winners. It could be getting the climate boost on top of the benefits of less acid rain. Schauberg and his collaborator from UVM, Gary Hawley, say it's a rare case of seeing the results of their work in their lifetime.
And so it's kind of a good news that science matters kind of story as well. Because the science informed...
Science to inform the public and made adjustments in pollution levels, and it worked.
So that's kind of cool.
And if faster-growing forests are part of New England's future, that seems okay, too. For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.